Please join me in prayer. God of wonder, awaken us. As we hear your word read and proclaimed, open us to be surprised. Enliven us with the word, the power of the word, and presence of your spirit. Transform us for our walk with you. Amen. The gospel reading for today comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Listen to the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
While most of us can recall really clearly the final verse of today's reading, we're woefully less familiar with the book of Micah. It's an Old Testament book, right? But who was Micah? Micaiahu is his full name, and it literally translates, "Who is like God?" He was a minor prophet. The book packs a bit of a punch, and if you think God isn't speaking to us in this today, remember that we follow what's called the lectionary. So this text was assigned for today. It was not cherry-picked based on what I wanted to say or anyone else picked. It was the lectionary. It can be broken down into three parts, the book of Micah. Each of these three parts begins with the word "hear." First, Micah calls out unjust leaders. Then he stands up for the rights of the poor against the rich and the powerful. And finally, he holds out a hope for the world of peace. I don't know about you, but these words were the message that I needed but didn't know was coming today. Listen for the living word from Micah 6, 1 through 8. "Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusations. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, surround us in this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Nudge us and move us out of our comfortable to hear you challenging and speaking and charging us this day. Amen. You're familiar with the way a court hearing goes, right? Mostly. There's an accuser and there's a defendant. The harm is presented, the accusation or the allegations. And then the defendant rebuts why that's not what really happened. Yet if you're paying attention in our world today, it can get twisty pretty fast. I hurt you because you hurt me, so it's right. Look, I have video proving you moved first, proving my harm is moot because I know you. I know what to expect. Rewriting history to fit our side, exaggeration to prove hysteria of the other side. Justice means nothing. We know you are a demanding God, a God of judgment, an Old Testament God. That's what the Bible tells us. We have no hope. We hear today's lesson as a bit in that kind of vein, as a trial for justice. Our ears and hearts are tuned to lawsuits and retribution. Justice in the court of a very, very angry God. Black and white, cut and dry. If it were the mishpat, which is the word for judgment, justice, it's a clear justice. If it was that clear, then we wouldn't avoid the next chapter of Micah quite as harshly as we do. The next chapter doesn't appear in any kind of lectionary that I'm aware of. It goes on to talk about violent rich people who will be turned over to ruin. Micah 7:3. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. This is the word of the Lord. Trust is torn asunder. Family and neighbor are no exception. We turn a blind eye to children killed in our warring ways. We no longer expect the basics of moral action and traditions to hold within our nation, if it ever did, and definitely not across the world at large. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of power. These are the warnings of the prophet Micah. What do they mean to us? Do we drink that Kool-Aid and try to line up line for line the Bible and see what it means today across history? If only the Bible were such a nice formula, that would be easy, right? Kind of like those Beatitudes, right? Those are easy. Perhaps we're fortunate that our salvation and our relationship with God is based on the Old Testament, this golden rule, if you will, instead of that list. Maybe we learn more by digging deep and being more invested when we have skin in the game. Maybe it's truly fortunate for us that our loving God thrives in a gray area of unknown mystery where there's abundance of grace, compassion, and mercy. While there are uncomfortable parables and warnings of what actions might result in, the message usually ends in hope. Not of our own making, but from God who delights in mercy. And as verse 7:19 says, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Everything's fine then. There's nothing for us to do. We can go on as we have. Right? The verses can't quite as cleanly be picked apart and taken whichever one that we choose and just sit with that one. They have to be taken as a whole. They only stand when they're all together. So before we get to, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Lord, we have to hear the other pieces. We have to hear what is the message of Micah. What is justice today? The mountains bear witness. Even the rocks and the valleys cry out. All of creation is my witness, says God. God brings charge against the people and then says, remember my works, the foundations on which society and order rest, the works of Moses, of Aaron, and Miriam. Who are our leaders that our works and our justice relies on? We can't erase them and their teachings and all that they fought and died for. Think Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King Jr., Susan B. Anthony, and the Native Americans that are being written out of our history books. Remember, even when it's uncomfortable, remember your journey, says the Lord. Justice is more comfortable, right? It's just a balance of scales, right? My side, your side, equally listened to, both having components of right and wrong, each echo chamber completely filled with a different reality. Listen to one another. I preach that often here. And yet again, I will. But we must not listen only. We need to hear, to deeply and truly hear. As the Israelites in this Micah text heard the charges, they were too angry to process what God was saying. We've heard your side, the people clamored. What you have done for us, how now do we ever measure up? What offering could we possibly bring that would be enough? 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil, my firstborn. Exaggerations to grab attention? Or mask over true sin with that next outlandish, unimaginable thing? History of the powerful repeating across the ages. Have our hearts hardened too much to hear Micah's prophecy? Instead of hearing what God meant by justice, Micah realized that their hearts were hardened as they defended themselves. When you look at this scripture, the NIV translation gives headings, and the heading that they gave today was the Lord's case against Israel. And then the translation we use, the NRSV, divided into two separate headings. God challenges Israel, which is a little softer. I think it is more the case against. But then the second part I like, what God requires. This is more apt, for we weren't hearing Micah. We wanted traditional justice, mishpat, all by itself. A trial where the sides are balanced as if power were not a factor and money didn't have any kind of play at all in the situation. Cold, hard facts that we tend to sweep aside, and the scales of human justice, people go by the wayside. I have to be honest. Lately, I've felt like the waters of justice are just as frozen as Northern Virginia. Shootings, ICE detention of citizens, children and reporters, court cases and politicians run amok. Many of my friends arrested locally in a peaceful protest this week. The slow walk of the horrors of the Epstein files, revealing more depravity of leadership than I can handle. I want justice now, and I want it my way. Yet, what am I called to do? Is my only power the power of the pulpit? While this feels riskier than it might have in the past, am I doing enough? Are we? What is God calling me and us to next? What does God require? Micah pivots, bringing hope for justice that must be partnered with mercy and humility, walking together with our Lord. Mishpat, justice rolling like a thundering stream that can't be stopped without chesed, which is mercy, or kindness and compassion, and without hatznia, which is humility and patience. Those three things. You must have justice, mercy, and humility, or those waters stay frozen. As Gregory Cuyler says, it is a covenant ethic. This one sentence from Micah moves it to an embodied moral action. It's not that mysterious at all. He continues, in Micah's vision, right worship cannot be severed from right relationship. Piety divorced from justice is idolatry. The prophet's charge transforms ritual reform. It calls for social transformation. Justice isn't an abstract virtue, but an embodied practice. It liberates the oppressed. To do justice, he continues, means to confront systems that exploit and marginalize. To love kindness is to nurture solidarity that restores community. And to walk humbly with God is to recognize the divine presence among those rendered voiceless. I wish the times that we were living in were unique enough to not fit so succinctly in Micah's message. In the chapters of an angry God. I wish we didn't have to argue about right and wrong. I wish we didn't have to argue about how we treat one another. I wish the children weren't caught in the crossfire. I wish and pray that we can build systems that prove to each and every beloved child that they have worth, that we will protect them regardless of all those qualifiers that distinguish normal from not normal, acceptable from outcast. All children, no matter what. Justice, mercy, and patient walking with our God is hard, radical work. It requires us to hear. Listen, the mountains and valleys witness, and they weep for our children. But there's hope if we embody, if we own what is ours to do. The social transformation, confronting corrupt systems, nurturing relationships to trust again. Turn to God. Thaw out your hearts. Get swept up in the waters of God's justice, mercy, and humility. It's all that easy. And yeah, it's pretty darn hard. Find a task. Risk love. See God in each other. Be ready to be wrong and to admit it. Be ready to love fiercely and without condition each and every child of God. They're depending on you. Hear this. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.